This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome to Heart and Soul on QF Radio with me, Lauren Booth, your space to reflect. Today, on this final day of Ramadan, it is a pleasure to welcome back Sheikh Sajid Umar. Sheikh Sajid, as you will know, has a bachelor's degree in Sharia and holds a master's degree in judiciary. He is renowned as an international speaker and a galvanizer of communities. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Every Ramadan, we battle with ourselves and we win. We win the battle because we control ourselves from dawn until dusk. These long days, if you're in Northern Europe, these medium length days, but still 10, 12 hours, when you're along the meridian line of the earth. And we have beaten the self into submission. And that is a great jihad. And in the last program, we were talking about the elements of this self-control. The first level is of the human being is where evil is easy for the self. And this is a hated position where you just stroll and you go to places where unpleasant things are taking place. And you listen to talk which you know is maligning somebody and you shouldn't be doing it. All of these minor and major unpleasantnesses that we take part in, they're easy for us. Doesn't matter, let's just do these things. But then comes the second stage, which God loves, the praiseworthy, when we are self-reproaching. I wish I hadn't done that. I'm not going to do that again. The positive affirmations, I am going to work on this and I am going to change. And then imagine reaching the third stage, the content self. I don't need to do the bad anymore. It's disgusting. I don't want to pollute my body and I don't want to harm others. And ease comes after that. So today we will be talking about the way forward for us all to continue now that the blessing of Ramadan is leaving us. Sheikh, take us on this journey.
We all miss you, Sister Lauren, and that was a beautiful summary that you just shared. Yes, always, sad moments that we experience at the end of Ramadan. It's just a special month. It knocks our door every year. Its tickets are booked, in advance. It will arrive. It comes into our home as a guest, and it just illuminates our homes. It brings with it forgiveness. It brings with it freedom from the hellfire. It brings with it magnanimous reward. It brings with it fasting, which is just good for the spirit, for the body, for the heart. And it brings with it the night prayer that teaches us so much. It polishes our character and it causes us to connect with our inner self. And it makes us hear the inner voice of guidance that always calls out to us during the entire year, but we fail to hear it because we're drowning in the noise of chaos of our jobs and living the life of this world. So Ramadan really comes in and brings for us perspective. So it's always that moment at the end, leaving us when it's brought so much, you feel sentimental and you feel those mixed emotions because, with Ramadan, leaving God Almighty blesses the Muslims with the day of Eid and a day of celebration, but you really don't want to think about the happiness of the next day. You just want to deal with your sadness of the last day. And you know what? All this is just a sign of iman and belief. It's really a sign of belief in God Almighty and belief in His message and gratitude to God Almighty. So, if you are feeling down, then congratulations to you. It's just you having digested the reality of the month that you've just witnessed. Now, Ramadan is a month, but the Lord of Ramadan is always with us. Now, that's the focus that we should look at. But Ramadan may come and go, But the Lord of Ramadan will always remain, right? And the same Lord who gave us the month of Ramadan, he is still our Lord during every month of the year. So this mandate that we should be the best that we can be and take the inspiration from Ramadan and spread it across the remaining months,
mm-hmm.
Whilst having hope that God Almighty will bless us again in terms of assisting us as human beings, because we are weak as human beings, by bringing Ramadan back to further inspire us again. And no doubt, we as Muslims are always in need of inspiration. You know, I always tell my audiences that, you know, every company has a board of directors, and every human being should have a board of directors as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
A board of directors, by it, I mean your mentors, people who inspire you, people who you take counsel with, you bounce things off, you bounce ideas off. You have a spiritual mentor, you have a business mentor, you have, you know, different mentors. In life, we should strive to find those people and request them to answer our calls and take our messages and just, you know, bounce things off them so that we always remain on track. Because Ramadan is that month that comes about to teach us how to remain on track. So moving forward, there's so many things we can discuss. So many things that I can say, you know. You gave me 3 hours to talk on this topic, I'll happily do so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So firstly, you know when you watch this cartoon called Bob the Builder? Bob the Builder, you can even learn from Bob the Builder. Bob the Builder always says, yes, we can. Right? Ramadan comes to teach us, yes, you can. What do I mean by that? So one of the inspirations now that you should take forward after Ramadan is you have the ability to be whatever you want to be. You have the ability to be righteous. You have the ability to be pious. You have the ability to leave the bad habits that you hate. You have the ability to bring the good habits that you want to bring about in your life. Why? Why? Because in Ramadan, you spend an entire month leaving things which are normally permissible for you to do, right? If you can leave things which are normally permissible for you to do, then no doubt you can leave those things which are impermissible for you to do. Because by default, it should be harder for us to leave permissible things. Why? Because there's no punishment for doing that. It should be harder for us to leave permissible things and easier for us to leave impermissible things. Sadly, that's not the case before Ramadan, but we're hoping after Ramadan that's the case, right?
Yeah, good.
I mean, before Ramadan, before Ramadan, we say, you know, I've asked this to an audience, and they were scratching their head. I said, which is harder for you? Is it harder for you to do bad things, or to is it harder for you to leave bad things, or to leave good things? And they were scratching their head, and I said, why are you scratching your head? Don't you know if you do a bad thing, there's a mighty hellfire waiting? So if the consequence is so great, surely it should be easy for you to leave that bad thing, right? That's the right paradigm. Unfortunately, our paradigms have shifted in the wrong way. But if you know, if I told you, Sister Lauren,
yes.
If you walk down this road, you're going to fall into a dark hole and you'll never come out of it. Would you need any more convincing to leave that road?
I'm changing my route straight away.
You're changing your route straight away. So the reality is, you know, God Almighty says, if you eat permissible food, you'll go to paradise. If you drink permissible drink, you'll go to paradise. If you get married and have marital relations with your spouse, you'll go to paradise. In Ramadan, God Almighty is telling you, leave the things that you normally allowed to do and you get paradise because of doing it. You answer
yes.
the call and you do that. So you've trained yourself that you can do whatever you want to do. If you can stay away from from what is normally permissible, then no doubt you can stay from that. Away from that which is impermissible. So the first lesson that we can take away with the passing of Ramadan is, yes, you can.
Let's summarize, before we go to the break then, what Sheikh Sajid has brought to us. So some practical tips. If we have managed for 30 days to eat nothing during the whole of Ramadan from dawn till dusk, we can eat less. We can be aware of the sunnah of the Prophet, peace be upon him, a third for food, a third for water, and a third for air on the stomach will leave us spiritually and physically enlivened. It will give us the energy to increase our awareness and not be so locked into our body just digesting food all the time. Let's take that forward. And what about this? We have focused on our ibadah in our families. Everybody has been told in families where Ramadan is so important, right, let's pray on time We've changed our habits. We've put things aside. Maybe we've turned off the TV. That's what we do in my house, 30 days. Nothing outside Islamic programs or watching. So we've taken all of these external amusements right down or out completely. Don't let everything just rush back in. Don't throw it all out. Let's increase the ibadah and encouragement to one another. And another area which is beautiful to continue is good deeds. And remember, you don't have to be wealthy to do a good deed. It's not all about money. A good deed can be a smile. A good deed can be a kindness. Let's be kind and do these small good deeds every day for the rest of the year and see how everything changes around us. And we'll be back with more after this break.
Peace be upon you. I start in the name of the Most High, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, the Most Just and the Most Kind. I start in the name of the Most High, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, the Most Just and the Most Kind. King of all kings, the master of the universe. His name is Allah, he is the one and only. And when I call him, I know he's gonna be right there. No matter what troubles I go through in life, I know it's gonna be alright, inshallah. I start in the name of the Most High, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, the Most Just and the Most Kind. I start in the name of the Most High, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, the Most Just and the Most Kind.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on Qatar Foundation Radio with me, Lauren Booth, sharing his gems of knowledge on this final day of Ramadan. With us today is Sheikh Sajid Umar. Welcome back, Sheikh. We were talking about the way forward, and Eid is coming. Blessed Eid, a time of celebration. Can you just tell us how the Prophet, peace be upon him, encouraged the Muslims to celebrate Eid?
Eid is indeed a day of celebration. And in Islam, we celebrate by worshipping God Almighty, right? So yes, we're going to have a party in a permissible way. But God Almighty, when he says celebrate, he blesses us with a prayer that doesn't exist on any other day. And that is known as the Eid prayer. And the Eid prayer, you know, is meant to be a show of mighty unity. And that's why the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us not to do the Eid prayer in a mosque or in a masjid, but to go out to open plain land so it can encompass a larger group of people and everybody prays together. And you know, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, teaches us that God Almighty frees thousands and thousands and thousands from the hellfire on that day when the people come together for the Eid gathering after having fasted the month of Ramadan. And God Almighty forgives the people of that gathering and showers his mercy upon them. So God Almighty is proud of his creation, proud of his worshippers. Also, you know, when we talk about having a party and we speak about this aspect of in Islam, you know, you party to worship, right? We have the special prayer. Islam says you have an exciting day, but don't forget who you are. And you are a Muslim. And because you're a Muslim, don't forget the poor people. Don't have fun whilst your neighbor's hungry. So one of the compulsory matters on the day of Eid, before the Eid prayer, is to give out a charity. Give out a charity, which is about 2.5 kilograms of the staple diet of the city or country that you live in. So you purchase that product or its cash equivalent, if that's what's better for the poor person, and you find poor people and you give out this charity before the Eid prayer so that they can celebrate Eid with their families as well. So this is another amazing aspect related to the day of Eid in Islam and this concept of, you know, celebrating So, you know, God Almighty gives us a day of eating. And by the way, on the day of Eid, which is the day of celebration, nobody's allowed to fast. It's compulsory that you don't fast. And if you fast, you're sinful, right? Because, you know, fasting is for God Almighty. Worship is for God Almighty. And God Almighty should be worshipped how he wants to be worshipped, not how you and I want to worship him. God Almighty doesn't want us to worship him by fasting on the day of celebration. So we are warned against fasting. We must eat, because eating is also a show of gratitude. That we fasted, so we recognize the blessings of food. And because of that fasting, we made, you know, holistic resolutions that we will not waste food anymore. We will be more charitable and think about the people who have less food, because, wow, food is actually a blessing. Before, we used to eat without even recognizing the blessing of it. We should take it for granted. So now we'll stop taking it for granted. And because food will always remain a blessing, God Almighty says, here, take this day to eat and enjoy from the blessings of God Almighty upon us. And this is from the mercy of God Almighty upon us. So this is the day of Eid in a nutshell. It's a day of happiness. It's a day of show of love. It's a day of unity. It's a day of coming together with, you know, be it the rich, be it the poor. It's a day of happiness and, you know, gratitude and being grateful.
Beautiful.
God Almighty for blessing us with the month of Ramadan and being able to fast the month.
Now, that is a beautiful image. What I have found is in places, sadly, like Manchester, that Eid has become a day of Shaitan's return on a chariot with all his followers rampaging down the Curry Mile, car horns hooting. I once actually apologized to policemen on the streets and I said, I'm sorry, this is not what Muslims should do. This is not Islamic Eid. It was more like a football match with prostitution. And I saw our sisters. Oh. It was horrible, Sheikh. And it was so sad. And my daughters were crying and said, Mummy, we, you know, they were new Muslims, just converted. And they said, please take us out of this. So don't let Shaitan, don't let him in the form of these bad habits, this excess that was never from our deen, from our understanding, charge back into our lives and overwhelm them. If you do that on Eid, it's a good indication of the rest of the year. And I just wanted to repeat a very exciting moment for me, which Sheikh Sajid has just introduced because I didn't know it before. Imagine that the Prophet, peace be upon him, has recommended to go and feed the poor before the Eid prayer. And I'm imagining how that can work, because before the Eid prayer has now become about, have you got your high-heeled shoes? Are you curling your hair? You know, who's got the best jewellery on? And I wonder, how can it work, Sheikh? How can we encourage our family to get out of bed early again?
You know what? It's funny that you say that, because I've witnessed as well. And I was touring UK universities a couple of years ago, and I actually spoke to all the students that I from the Muslims that attended the program about this point. And I said, "What on earth is this? Driving cars and sticking flags out and loud music playing?" And it felt exactly as you said. It's Satan, the devil, was out and on a chariot, celebrating the day he was released. I said, what is this? And, you know, I'm going to be brave and say 10 times out of 10, these people who are celebrating Eid this way, they never fasted the month of Ramadan properly. They never lived the month for what it was. There's no way you can live Ramadan in all its dynamics and its flamboyance and its beauty, and then come out with a product on the view of Eid, such as what you just described. There's no way. There's absolutely no way. And that's why my message to the listeners and, you know, to those who witness these things is, look, do not judge Islam based on the people. Sadly, we have to say it, but it's fact. Judge Islam based on the sources. Judge Islam based on the first generation of Islam that put those sources into life and made those sources a living memory. Look at how they did it. So, you know, I want to apologize to the police officer. I actually shared an apology to the non-Muslim community, because I was actually informed by some that when the day of Eid arrives, they actually move out of the city for a day or two or three. They go on holiday, some of the non-Muslims, because they say it's so disruptive, it's so noisy. And I felt embarrassed and felt ashamed, and I would offer an apology on behalf of my fellow Muslim brothers and sisters who made a grave mistake to these people, and explain to them that, look, this is not Islam, sadly, it's a culture, it's something else. Don't mistake it for Islam, because Islam is innocent of this and does not deserve to be implicated when the crime is with others than it. So I can relate to that. I can relate to that. Now, you know what's interesting, Sister Lauren? Mm. God Almighty, when He tells us to fast the month of Ramadan, He tells us why. And He says, fast the month of Ramadan. He doesn't say so that you may attain God consciousness. He says so that perhaps you may attain God consciousness.
Perhaps,
right? So, God consciousness is a gift given to those who live Ramadan for what Ramadan is. It's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that if you fast, you're just going to get God consciousness, right? And that is why God Almighty, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said that whoever does not look after his speech, whoever speaks false speech, then God Almighty is not in need of you leaving your food and your drink. Because the fast is not a symbol, it's not a symbolical thing. It's substantial. It's not just fast for the sake of it, and then do what you want, just stay away from the food and drink so that nobody can hold you accountable, but behave how you want to behave. No, the fast is a means to an end. That by you detaching yourself from the food and the drink and the mundane activities of life, then, you know, your soul will have a chance to be replenished. So the fast is a means to an end. The fast is a means to taqwa. It's not something in and of itself. It's serving the purpose. It's aiding you. You know, it's like if you're injured and they put you in an oxygen tent. It's not about you being... If you're in the oxygen tent, but then, you know, you don't feel the oxygen tent properly. Because that's what sports people do. I believe it's like an oxygen tent they put you in, and it aids your muscles healing faster or something like this. Right? But you don't close the tent properly, or you don't follow the instructions, you don't sit the way you're supposed to sit, you exert pressure on the injured joint, right? You come out of that oxygen tent without being cured, right? Or from that curing system without being cured. The same thing with the fast. If you consider the fast like this tent that you go in, it protects you from other elements. But then you abuse the nature of the environment that you're in. That fast is not going to give you what it is designed to give you. So God Almighty says, perhaps you may attain taqwa. Why? Because fasting is easy. Leaving food and drink is easy. But developing God consciousness is hard.
Thank you.
That is hard. That needs a strive. You know, we're speaking about, the conquest of the self. You have to conquest yourself. The fast helps you do that.
Dear Sheikh Sajid Umar has been our guest throughout the month of Ramadan, and make a dua for him and his family to encompass and feel surrounded by joy all the future and into the next life. We thank you, Sheikh. And that's where we leave heart and soul. The blessed month of Ramadan has departed. We're going away as well. And we leave you with this. May God provide you all, whatever community you're in, with blessings in the coming day of Eid, with your families, with joy, and for us all to attain God consciousness, better behavior, more piety and kindness to one another in the years to come. Thank you, Nora. Thank you, Ihab al-Sheikh, for your hard work. Thanks to QF Radio for this beneficial series, and a special thanks to all my wonderful guests, and to you all, Eid Mubarak. Allahu Allah.